Welcome to Patterns and Possibilities, Curious Conversations with Ms. Handy. I'm so pleased to begin a new pattern of inquiry that involves an up-close and personal conversation with special guests around the globe who actively use human systems dynamics to transform the patterns in their world. That new pattern of inquiry begins with our special guest right now. I'm delighted to introduce you to Mike Norberry. Mike is a family physician and medical director in Vancouver, British Columbia. He also leads health system leaders and has recently obtained his HSD certification. You can learn more about Mike by reading his bio in our show notes. Welcome to Patterns and Possibilities, Mike.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm so pleased that you said yes to our invitation. And I want to start off with a question that I'm really curious about. And that is, what led you to HSD? And at that time, what, if anything, were you looking for?
Yeah, great question. I was selected in the health system, the health authority that I work in. I was selected and sent on some training that's provincial in nature here in British Columbia called Transforming Links. And Transforming Links was co-delivered by Glenda, obviously the founder, co-founder of HSD. So I didn't actually know I was going to be meeting HSD until I was in the training. And then it quickly became apparent that I just so appreciated all of its approach to how we lead in complex adaptive systems. The health system is, of course, a complex adaptive system, and I'm a leader in the health system. So I guess that's partly why it was woven into the course, the provincial course training and developing leaders here in BC. But I also saw the opportunities in it in terms of my other day job, my clinical work, when I'm seeing patients in one-to-one conversations in a clinical setting, and just around the ability to manage uncertainty, shades of gray, complexity, chaos. So I guess that happened just before the pandemic for me, 2019, I think I started the training. Then the global pandemic started. So the training was really fortunate given that I was a health systems leader facing a global health pandemic. And through the second year of the pandemic, I guess things became even more challenging for me as an individual, as a health systems leader. And that's when I decided to take the plunge and join the virtual cohort and do my HSD certification, because I just kept coming back to the HSD approaches to life in the universe, helping sustain me as an individual, as a human, as a family doctor, clinician, and as a health systems leader. And I wanted to learn more so I could coach and support and help lead the medical directors who report to me and others who are work within leadership. So it was really, I guess, what I hoped to get out of it when I did my HSD certification was sustaining me through the remaining part of the pandemic, while also giving some resiliency to the future and my ongoing leadership role. And I think it's done that. I think it's done it on personal, clinical, and leadership, and it continues to do that. So yeah, I still love joining whenever I can HSD conversations, and I carry with me in my backpack a little diagram, a model that has all of the different HSD tools on it. And whenever I get stuck in my leadership job, I just sit, pause, reflect, and look at some of those tools in order that I can work out how to get unstuck and move forward. So it's been transformative for me personally, for sure.
Well, now you're making me wonder, how has your involvement in HSD impacted the relationship that you have, not only with the medical leaders that you work with, but also with your own patients?
I guess from the leadership perspective, it's made me realize I would look at four truths here, but it made me realize that the leadership role I inherited from my predecessor was bound by structures that I took to be true and that I had to replicate. And so for my first 6 months in this medical leadership role, I guess I felt tension and I couldn't work out what it was. And then I realized it's because what I inherited isn't necessarily what I had to maintain or sustain. I was allowed to wipe the dry whiteboard clean and come up with a different way of working. And so I think what it means for the medical leaders who I work with is we work completely differently. How we use time is different. We used to have one-to-one conversations once a month. And of course, that's to do with time, right? Time is not a tightrope, and things move so quickly in our health system that the idea that things could wait for 4 weeks before speaking to me as a senior health system leader is kind of absurd, right? Because things change every 12 hours, never mind every 24 hours. So now the frequency and cadence with which the group of us as medical leaders connect and speak one-to-one or as a group is completely different. The bureaucracy of some of our meetings and that predetermined agenda of what we're going to talk about, whether it's relevant or not, has now also shifted. We now talk about what's needed now in order to allow us to move forward with our next wise actions. So that's been really transformative, again, around the whole leadership structure. What it means clinically for me is that I genuinely am now more open and curious than I was even in the earlier days of being a family doctor around nothing being a surprise. So before, I think, although we were always trained around trauma, Indigenous cultural safety, and stigma, DEI, I guess now I'm even less surprised by anything that's brought to me in the clinic consultation room. And I notice even in both leadership and clinical role, we had a flood last weekend in the clinic that's really impacted our space. And I that stuff just doesn't matter now. I just think, oh, well, it's an opportunity. It's going to be different. We just move forward. Where am I going to be working? Not sure. What exam room am I going to be in? Not sure. We just have to make it work. So I guess it's just added a fluidity to how I approach change around me that makes things easier for me personally, and therefore less tension or stress, which is back to that sustainability part for me as an individual.
So what have you learned and how are you using it in other ways than you've already described?
Yeah, I think this is the part that permeates that personal, universe life, clinical life and leadership life, where just the initial news of something significant having changed or being different, the flood in clinic a couple of weeks ago, my family and how they're getting on back in Scotland, my boss, I recently found out that my boss is moving on. So how those things would have landed with me pre-HSD, I think would be the stuff where I would feel angst, stress, questions. Is it me? Was it them? What's happening? Who's going to come next? Whereas now I'm just much more open, like standing in curiosity and inquiry around, okay, this could be an opportunity. It may not be, like in terms of who my new boss is going to be. I'm open to wait and see how that process unfolds. I know that I can nudge the process somewhat by speaking to others. I'm going to do a little bit of exploring there. And how and where it lands, only once it lands, will I then make a decision that's right for me and my role in the future. And so I guess it really just has helped me, especially because the world is so uncertain just now. It just allows me to be really curious about what might come next. You know, before I left Scotland, I left in 2015, but there was the independence referendum for Scotland becoming an independent nation. And obviously, it didn't go the way that I had hoped that it would go. And now Nicola Sturgeon, who was a little bit of a political idol for me, has announced her stepping back from being First Minister of Scotland. And again, I think, oh, that's sad. I really admire Nicola. But now I just realise it's okay, because whatever comes next might be better, might be worse, but I can't control it. I can watch. And I can try and influence it in any way that it makes sense to me as an individual. But at the same time, what comes next might be amazing. So I guess just this being stuck thinking that this version is the only version of something is the part that feels completely different to me now. Just this acceptance that that's how the world as a complex adaptive system works. And that's how I live in it as an individual and as a clinician and as a leader. So I guess just almost being unfazed and not stressed by things that A, I can't necessarily control, or B, that I don't know are not going to be good things, like positive things for the future.
Well, along those lines of what you're saying, as you talk about feeling, and since you are a doctor, you know, we feel so many things in our body. So what does it feel like to witness the transformation of patterns in the way that you would have experienced them as opposed to how you're experiencing things now?
Both physically and mentally, it just allows you to feel more like just looser, easier. So before, I guess it would be symptoms, literally physical symptoms of tension, headache, gut ache, stomach upset, nausea, just not sure about where things are going to land. But also it's like crying over spilt milk before it's spilled, right? You would have all of these physical and mental tensions. You might take a while to get to sleep because you ruminate on things, you wonder what you're going to do. Whereas now it's extreme to say, but it's almost like a meditative state where you sleep well at night because you realize there's no point losing sleep over some of the stuff that you were losing sleep over. You physically feel better. I see a trainer twice a week at the gym, and I remember she could always tell how work was going based on how rubbish I was at training. Like, it was almost I was wasting money seeing her because we weren't able to train because I would be in an angry or a bad mood or stressed or couldn't focus. Now I'm training so well, whether we just keep going up in weights, and she comments on how different things are. And I guess it because I just have, again, it sounds extreme, it's not an inner peace, but it's just it's an ability to separate things out in a sense that they're not impacting my physical and mental health and well-being in a way that they probably would have done beforehand. Because of course, in this post-pandemic interim, whatever phase we're in, the world is still in a more unsettled place than it was, certainly in healthcare, probably globally in every other way. So we ain't finished stuff yet and probably never will, because it's an infinite game. So the idea that I feel so comfortable with that, when before HSD training, I was probably just a tied up ball of knots that didn't know what to do next, it's been significant, I think, in terms of how my health, well-being, and emotions and responsiveness to the world around. And that obviously allows me to be a better doctor for when I'm seeing my patients and clients in clinical settings.
That has to be an amazing feeling. And I feel it here as I'm having the conversation with you. I also want to ask you a really important question, which is, now what advice would you give to the HSD community and really to the world of human beings who haven't yet experienced HSD?
What would be to taste, try, test in any way, shape, or form. So obviously I can't force people to do training. There's different format for experiencing HSD, from the daily connections to monthly connections to the actual formal training. As I said earlier, I happened on it by chance on an in-person provincial health system leadership course. That's when I personally got to meet Glenda and was just awestruck and couldn't, that's why I went on and did my certification, right? I couldn't then get enough of it because it's been so transformative for me. I imagine that it would be transformative for others and other industries and roles and work. You can't force people, and maybe the timing was just right for me. So I never want to commit people to experiencing things that they don't have time or capacity or room for. But I it's just been so transformative for me personally that my encouragement would be for people just to test it out, watch some of the videos, the online resources, listen to the podcast, just anything that gives people a road in. You know, during my training, the HSD certification, my husband Ryan overheard some of the training about what, so what, now what. And actually, he was an architect. He had been an architect for 23 years. But by listening to some of our training while he was across here in the sofa and I was working in the dining area, he actually made some really career defining choices. He's gone back to school to become a registered massage therapist. And he actually did that by hearing drips of HSD on the screen that I was sitting on. And then I don't know. So I would just be open-minded, be curious, and whichever way, shape, or form you can build HSD experiences into life, whether it's formal certification or otherwise, I think the opportunity is there for the taking. And I think anybody that I've spoken to about it can see and feel the difference it's made in me, and then it makes them curious in themselves. That would be my advice.
Well, I am so pleased to hear about your HSD story. And I want to say thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you again for having me. It's been great to connect and have this conversation today.
It's a privilege of mine.
I'm so grateful that you've joined us for our new pattern of Curious Conversations with Miss Handy. Be sure to tune in next time when we'll talk to another one of our special guests from around the globe about their unique HSD, What, So What, and Now What experience. Until then, continue using adaptive action to discover all of the patterns and possibilities that exist in your world.